The following sermon is given by Pastor Charles Griffin III at Dayspring Christian Church, located in Gardena, California, and our hope is changed hearts and changed lives by the Word of God. For information about Dayspring Christian Church, you can visit our website at dayspringcc.org. Enjoy the sermon.
But open up, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31, and I want to start at verse 10. And just simply tend to the end of the chapter 31. There is a lot to cover here, and as I said before, I just pray that you do your best and go back online to hear it if you need to. But in Proverbs chapter 31, we get the description of the excellent woman from a title that we've entitled today, The Excellent Woman. And I'll pray that we see this passage as very helpful and needful for our daughters, for our family, for our wives. I pray that we see this for all women, grandmothers alike, that this is very important and a vital passage. Proverbs 31, and starting at verse 10, it reads, "An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maids. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of her kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm and deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.'" Again, from the title of The Excellent Woman, if you want to know what the perfect woman looks like, it is the woman that is mentioned here in this poem. I know this is a Mother's Day, but every husband, every potential husband, every guy, every man, when you read this, you should read this, hoping that one day your wife is this. I have to say this or ask you this question. But for women here, I want you to ask yourself, if I had to pray for the most excellent woman for my son, what would I pray for? Right? Mothers, you, those of you who have children, those of you who have sons, the question is, what would you pray for if you had a chance, an opportunity to pray for the wife of your son? I say that because this poem that we read is in or within that exact setting. It is a poem of, or setting of, a mother who is praying for the perfect wife or woman for her son. So in essence, this is what the Bible calls a godly woman. This is a woman of character. She's noble, and this is what I would be praying for in a woman. This is what women should ascertain or seek to be. This, in this setting, is where we get the idea of how do I pray for my son's wife. It's a setting, just so you know, because we're going to get to some things that is kind of difficult for us to understand because some of us didn't grow up in wealth, but it is a setting of a wealthy home. But it's still, needless to say, it still applies to us today. In a very easy manner, again, I have 22 points to make. So I will be very fast in going from point to point. So your question should be, what is this noble woman? Show me, tell me, Pastor. How should I be behaving as a woman, as a wife, as a mother? For indeed, this could be the excellent woman. This could be the excellent mother. How should we be behaving? Well, in the character traits that are mentioned, you should see, number one, is that an excellent woman. Number one, valuable. She's valuable. In verse 10, the Bible says, an excellent wife, look at this, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. Who can find an excellent woman? Or the word excellent, a virtuous woman. Her character is strong. That's her character. She's mentally strong. She's virtuous. She's noble. She's a truth teller. Who can find such a loyal woman? And the idea of the question of who can find is that this is hard to find. So everything that we're about to list and what a godly woman is, church, is very hard to find. Sadly, I'll even say even within churches. This is hard to find. She's valuable. She's far above jewels, rubies, gems, rare, that is. She's rare. Why? And for those of men who are single, we know that it's rare to find a woman in which we just read. Some of you went, ladies, as we were reading, you were going, man, that is not going to be me anytime soon. It is rare to find a woman with all of these qualities. And then needless to say, I should have said this in my introduction. Not only is it rare, but this is not going to be all of you today. And the idea is that last time I kind of preached this, somebody came up to me, they're not here today, they no longer go to this church, but they came up to me and said, ooh, my wife is all of what you name. I'm like, really, she's perfect? Because everything I named and doing that perfectly means you're perfect. Ladies, you will not be able to be all of what we just named. You can strive for it, but you won't be perfected in it. It is rare to find a woman whose heart seeks to be this virtuous woman. She's valuable. Number two, trustworthy. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. So she has a trustworthy character. She's loyal. She's loyal. And really, in the context of the rest of the verses of Proverbs, she's loyal around men. She's loyal to her husband around other men. She's not a liar. She's not a backstabber. She's not a conniver. She's not sitting there flirting with her eyes with other men. Her husband can trust that she's in the room and that she would not flaunt her body, her assets. He can trust her. You know what was common in the ancient days, and particularly when this passage was written? It was common for a husband to hide or to lock his valuables. That was common. And the idea of that is because his wife would come, and some of you are already laughing, his wife would come along, and she would take those things and valuables, and she would just completely ruin all of the finances. So he would hide. It was common for him to hide the valuables. He feared, listen to this, he would fear that they were about to go in great debt because of the way that she used the money. But listen to this. Here's what a trustworthy woman is. He will not have, the rest of the verse in verse 11, he will not have lack of gain. The ideal is this. He doesn't have to do that with a virtuous woman. With this woman, he doesn't have to hide his jewels. He doesn't have to hide his riches because she's loyal. So all of this, I got to get a separate bank account because she spends or my wife doesn't spend money well. That's not the excellent wife. We need to be in prayer, right, ladies? I can't go on these Fashion Nova spending sprees. I can't go on these shopping mall sprees with the money and be and just misplace the money. And so she's trustworthy. I can trust her around men. I can trust her around the money. She's trustworthy. She doesn't lie to me. I can trust her. And so this is what the excellent wife is. Number three, she's always good. Always good. She's what, ladies? Sometimes. She's always good. Verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So what is an excellent wife here? What is an excellent woman here? What is an excellent mother here? She's not good one day and then evil the next. Right? It's okay to say something, ladies, with this part. There's a perpetual love here. There's a moral that she has. There's a moral standard that she lives by. She's not driven by the state of her emotions. Like, whatever emotion I'm in, today, everybody is going to feel it. She doesn't approach the household in that manner. She's always good. This is what an excellent wife would be. Moral character. No anger or outbursts of anger. She has a moral character of kindness. She's sweet. She's gentle. In all the days of her life, that's what she's known for. Fourth, she's productive. In verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Here's how she adds to the wealth of the household. So not only does she not take away from the finances, she adds to the finances. That's completely different than what an ungodly wife would do. She's productive, right? Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Here's how she adds to the household, the wool or flax. These are materials that are used for making clothes. So what she would do is she would make clothes for the family. She would make clothes for the family to sell. She was productive. She industrialized. She would look for ways to add to the family financially and not take away from the family. How do we know that? Well, the rest of the verse says, and works with her hands in delight. So with a good spirit, she would work. There was no complaining. There was no murmuring. She added to the household. She worked, and she did. She worked within the household, and she did that without murmuring and complaining. This is what the excellent wife would be. Prudent, number five, prudent. Verse 14 says, she is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. What is prudent? What is the word prudent? She shows care or thought for the future. She has a certain wisdom where she cares about the future. She's like merchant ships. And in those days, merchant ships did import and export, and it did it from afar off, and they would go far off to do it. And so the Bible here likens her unto that, that she brings food from afar like merchant ships. That is to say that she, listen, she would travel great distances and spend much time in order to go and to get the best quality food for the best price. Right? She would do everything that she can to make sure that the house. Do you see how the finances is not being attacked? We've read nothing about her spending money, have we yet? Not yet. Right? She goes far for that. And remember this, she would have to walk, ladies. There were no, or she would have to ride a horse to the market in order to do this. There were no Uber, no Lyft, no cars, right? She would have to walk or take a horse to go do these things. She would take huge portions out of her day to go do these things. But she was prudent. She's looking towards the future, so she would do it. So it's not just, hey, throw a frozen dinner in. We're going to have some microwavables. No. Right? It was, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm going to plan for the future, and I'm going to plan well for the future. Six, she's diligent. Diligence. Verse 15, she rises also while it is still night and gives food to her husband and portions to her maidens. So look, what does diligence look like? Here's what it looks like. She's an early riser, church. She rises early in the morning. She's an early riser. She rises so early that when she rises, it's still night. That is, it's still dark outside. This shows a woman who labors. She toils that night and then rises early in the morning. She's not lazy. She's the very opposite of that. She starts preparing her food for the household in the morning. She starts in the morning. So she's working throughout the day. And of course, for some of us, we say it don't take that long unless it's Thanksgiving dinner or a turkey. But she's starting very, very early for the family. She's not selfish. How do we know she's not selfish? Because the Bible later here says that that portions go to her maidens, those who are helping out, the handmaids around the house. They would also receive food. So she's getting up early, and she's preparing food for all of the household and even the handmaidens, all those who are working within the household. She's not selfish. She needs to find her own way. No. Right? Number seven, she's an investor. She's an investor. And it's not just that it's an investment that she's making, but she's knowledgeable with her investment. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She considers a field, she buys it. She seems to understand, or good with seeing, listen to this, church, the real estate market. She understands the real estate market. She knows when to buy something. That's what an excellent wife is. And takes careful thought with pursuing it. And if she pursues it, she's looking for a deal, a bargain. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Which means she has to have knowledge of what that looks like. Knowledge of a bargain. Knowledge of a deal. There has to be work done. What would be best for the family? All in all, I would have you to look at this. Remember this. In verse 13, she was sort of she was making clothes, right? This business making clothes. Verse 24, she's making things to sell as an investor, as an entrepreneur. In verse 24, we're not there yet. But in verse 16, here, she's knowledgeable in real estate. Do you see that? Making clothes, entrepreneur, investment. This is who she was. She's knowledgeable about financial things. And it's so funny because whenever you start marrying people, I'll say this. Whenever you start marrying people, those are the two things you have to do. One of the two things you have to deal with, communication, the way that two people are communicating, and finances. Because Any one of those could end in divorce. And at a high rate, those two cause divorce. But this is the excellent woman. She's good with the money. In fact, to the extent where she reinvests the money after making a profit. From her earnings, in verse 16, she plants a vineyard. She took the profit and plants a vineyard. And the vineyard would have wine, medicine. You would use wine for the animal sacrifices. There are so many things that would be done, but she reinvested it. Wine, she may even sell the wine. She may even sell the medicine that would be made from the vineyard. But this is what she would have done. This is what the hope is for a virtuous woman who is here today, for a woman who's saying, I want to be a virtuous woman. Number eight, she's strong, ladies. Strong. So verse 17 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So what are we talking about? We're talking about physically strong. She's not soft. She's not soft. She's laboring. She does physical labor, and she's not running from the physical labor. She does it. Remember, in those days, there were no gyms, right? There was no gyms to help pump your little muscles up. No, if you got strong, if a woman, a virtuous woman here, gets strong, it's because she's working hard, laboring in the household. So it shows that she is not lazy. She's working in the household. Number nine, she's observant. She's observant. Verse 18 says, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. So in essence, she senses that her work and her labor, her enterprise is good. The work has been good. She's done a good job with the enterprise. She's done a good job with the household. She senses that. And let me just throw this one in. Ladies, you know and you sense within yourself if you're doing a good job or not. Today I will cause for us, I want to encourage us, but you have to be real with yourself. You know if you are doing a good job or not. If you're this or not. Right? If there's too much attitude or not. If there's too much talking and talking in the wrong way or not. You know if you're disposing of the finances or helping the finances. You know that. She senses that. She's observant. She's watchful of the household. She's observant. Clothing, food, sales, investments. They're all profitable, and she's making sure that everything within, she's good with money. She's making sure it's all profitable. The Bible says here, her lamp does not go out at night. So you kind of get the idea that she's rising up early in the morning and she's working till late at night. And then she's going to sleep and then doing the same thing in the morning, waking up early again. But she's observant. She plants a vineyard during the day. She wools clothes at night. And she's preparing food early in the morning. She's working. And some mother here knows that to be true. It is a full-time job, right, ladies? To raise children and to raise family and to raise husbands, right? It is a full-time job. She's working before sunrise, and she's working all the way till it's dark. And the whole entire time, she's observant. She senses whether she's doing a good job or not. I need someone to get this one, too. Ladies, we have to be able to sense if we're doing a good job or not. And you have to be real with yourself, real within your mindset, if you're a virtuous woman or not. Number 10, she's hardworking. In verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Now, remember this. In verse 13, she's looking for materials for clothing, right? Wool and flax, remember that? In verse 19, verse 19, not only has she got the material for the clothing, but now she puts it on a distaff and spins it. It's on the distaff here in the spindle. The distaff and the spindle were tools that were used to turn the wool into thread for making clothes. So she's stretching her arms out, and she's using this machinery, this clothes-making, manufacturing system to do the work in order to profit and have a gain. She's doing labor. She's working hard. She stretches out her hand to spin the thread. That's a lot of work. And I don't do this. Maybe Ms. Marcellette or somebody else who actually makes clothes would know how much work it takes and that goes into it, especially if you have a full-fledged family, and it sounds as if she's making the clothes for the family. She's working hard, ladies. She works hard. And that's what we do, right, today, ladies? That's what you do. I work hard. I plan on working hard. If I'm not married, when you get married, I plan on working hard. It's not, oh, it's paradise. Let me lay back and just let everything come to me now. No, I plan to put my all into my family. My all is placed. Number 11, selfless. The excellent woman is selfless. In verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. So the same hands that she uses on a distaff and to spin the thread is the same hands that she uses to assist the poor or the needy. So you kind of get this way of life for her. This is her way of life. It's my family, but in the selfless nature that she has, she goes outside of her family and goes, now let me help others who don't have what we have. It's not just the selfishness of me and mine, and you need to figure yours out. No, she's extending herself to others. She's extending her hand to the poor. Often mothers tend to only carry for their immediate family, and I've seen it too many times. It's my immediate family. We want our immediate family to be the best of everything. But selflessness says, no, I go above and beyond, and I pray that your family is just as good or better than mine. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to extend myself to help you in your family. For somebody here, that sounded foreign. Ideally, she's to the point of not only feeding them, and somebody goes, well, yeah, I go down to feed them. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about simply that, I should say. But to aid them, to counsel them, to encourage them, right? To comfort them in their time of need. I can't do that, ladies, if I have something against you out of nowhere that is for a reason or not for a reason. But I have something against you. I can't just turn the other cheek. I'm holding resentment. I can't let it go. I have something versus this other family, this other lady. She fell. Things are going wrong. They're poor. Good. What? It's not a selfless lady. It's not a selfless woman. You think of yourself before others. Selfless. Number 12, she's proactive. She's proactive. In verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not afraid of the snow. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. So here's what she does. She's proactive. She anticipates that winter is coming. And she makes clothes for her children and for the family. She's anticipating. She's proactive. She's thinking beforehand. She's looking into the future. And she knows it's about to be cold, so she's making clothes. What kind of, well, specifically here, scarlet clothing. That is a type of red, scarlet. It's a type of red. And it would be more appealing. The clothing that she was making here is more appealing than your normal, like, dull white or bland white, maybe, or black color. It's a scarlet, vibrant color. Not only is it vibrant, but it's expensive at that time because of the labor that went into it, the amount of labor that it took to spin the thread and to make it, it was expensive. So her children have on these clothing And they're being cherished and nourished by their mother in a proactive way. She's protecting the family with the dress, and they're nice and they're clean. They're very nice. They're very clean. It almost reminded me of every single year when school comes around, you're getting new clothes, right? You ever lay your clothes out on the bed at night before school, right? And theirs would have been expensive. Hers would have been expensive because, again, the labor that went into it. But you ever lay your clothes out, expensive or not, but just laid it out because it's new on the bed and you walk by 3-4 times looking at it? And if you're really bad, you put the shoes underneath the bed, like right by the pants to see, like, I'm about to kill them today, right? You do all of that, and then after like 2-3 weeks, you don't care about the clothes anymore. Goes by the side. This lady is doing that, and it's a real purpose. I got to make sure my children are safe from the cold winters that are coming. 13, she's elegant. She's elegant. Now, when I say this, it's going to come with a slight disclaimer. She's elegant. Because I don't want you thinking of simply outward appearance, but she's elegant, right? She's elegant. I'm going to say that again. She's elegant. Verse 22, she makes coverings for herself even. Her clothes are fine linen and purple. Her clothes are even expensive. So she's dressed in this elegant attire. She's dressed them. Now she's clothed herself in a silk and a purple. And at that time, during those times, it was very difficult to make purple. The dye in purple was expensive. It was difficult to make it, and purple actually represented royalty. So here, this is how you know that this is a setting of a wealthy family, because they have expensive attire on. This is not that you need to go out and buy expensive attire. I know this church. Nobody's wealthy here. But this is what she would have done. Not only putting clothes upon her children, but she would have made sure that she's dressed appropriately and elegantly. So she's dressed in a certain way. So after she sacrificed to her family, she now turns to herself. And then to the point of where the context shows that this would have been the fruit of her labor. So after she had done everything that she had done and she had brought finances to the family, now she can go spend a little something on herself. Does that sound familiar, ladies? Yeah. Right? Not, we don't have it, and I'm going to go spend it, and I don't care. Am I going to talk to my husband? I'm going to do what I want. This is my money. I worked hard for it. I don't see that with the excellent wife. I don't see that. What I see is, after I've taken care of everybody else, and after I've labored, and after I've gained, and we have more than enough, then I go do something for myself. So we have to remember that the fruits of her labor came after the fact, after making enough. But she's elegant. This is not just she's going out with a scarf on her head. She's elegant. This is not, and I have to say this because I'm from LA, but this is not, I'm hood. And I'm going to wear hood type stuff. And I'm going to wear worldly clothing. I'm going to kind of look like them because it's cute. Did you hear how I said cute? Because it's cute. I'm not worldly, but I dress in an elegant, godly manner. And I say elegant, I mean I'm not showing stuff on purpose, ladies. She's not showing things on purpose. She's elegant. And by things, I mean her body. She's not showing her body off, right? Because she's loyal, again, from previous. She's loyal. She's tasteful. She's stylish. She's elegant. In verse 23, she's admirable. She's something that you should admire, or people would admire. In verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land. So she doesn't have some evil, ugly attitude. She doesn't have a damaged reputation of being nasty. She doesn't. How do we know that? Well, because her husband actually has good reputation because of her. She actually adds to the reputation of her husband. As he's out in some type of community, she's adding to his position within that community. So here it seems like he must have had some type of position, maybe high up in the community, or he would have had some high position of honor and reputation, and he would have been known. And so what has happened is they're looking at his wife to see who he is. They're looking at how his wife is reacting to issues, to circumstances, to unfavorable conditions, and they're looking at that to determine if she, not only is she virtuous, but to determine his own, his reputation. So again, ladies, those overly enthused emotions that we do get, and I say we, let me say you get, second person plural, those emotions do not add to the family reputation. You look horrible. In fact, I'm going to say it's ugly. It's downright ugly. We're talking about adorning herself in clothing and elegance and that she's carrying herself in a certain way, and then you do that, it's just downright ugly. It's ugly. And so I want to encourage you ladies to be admirable. Like, be the person that people admire. Not that you ought to seek it, but just carry yourself in a godly fashion. In verse 10, who can find an excellent wife? The idea is she's a rare jewel. Yes, it's a rare jewel to wear, to have a wife that actually adds to your reputation. That's rare. That's rare. She's good with the money, good with the children. She's honorable. She's loyal. She's faithful. She doesn't lie to me. And on top of that, she's going to add to who I am and my reputation. In fact, I've gotten this job because of her. They heard of who my wife is. People have come around from the community, and they've told me, your wife, she's this, she's that. This is what is going on here. Her domestic excellency assists her husband's career or his position. She's not taken away from it. Number 15, she's an entrepreneur. So earlier we talked about investments. But here specifically, she's an entrepreneur. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. So here what we have is that she's selling clothing, right? So the clothing that she's making, do you remember that, ladies? The clothing that she's making, she's turning around not only for her children, but for financial resources within the house, she's turning around and selling it. And not only that, but she's trading belts. So that is, she has some type of belt manufacturing business. Do you see? Does it sound tiring already when you hear all what this lady is doing? She has a belt manufacturing business. And she's selling them to international traders from afar. So she has to go far with no Uber and no Lyft. Okay, so yes, the primary duty of a wife, according to Titus 2 and 5, is in the home. That's the primary duty. So I get it. You see that she's doing things, and she's doing things outside the home. Yeah, it's okay to do some things outside the home if it doesn't affect the things inside the home. Her primary duty, her godly duty, is here in the home. So can a wife, a godly wife, a Christian wife, be an entrepreneur? Absolutely, yes. You can do things to bring in resources into the home, and you can work outside the home. But your primary responsibility, and she's showing us, the primary responsibility is to her family. And notice, almost all of this is after she's taken care of the family. After she's done that, then she has a belt manufacturing company. Right? Be good with the money, ladies. Again, if your husband has to separate you from bank accounts, or you have to separate yourself from the bank account, that's a horrible thing. There's one bank account. There should be one bank account. No secrets. Nothing to hide. We have one bank account. if I got to spend my money and it's this attitude and authoritative thing that's going on, then it's a problem. That's a lack of submission. That's Ephesians 5. Somebody's in sin. I encourage you, ladies, be an excellent wife. Be a virtuous mother. Be a virtuous lady. Be excellent with the money. It's not, I need to go get this expense of this or that. It's no, let me make sure everybody's taken care of first. And then if I have a little bit, I'm still going to go get something at a bargain. This is what a godly wife looks like. Number 16, she's dignified. Verse 25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. So her outward clothing did not make her, listen, ladies, her outward clothing didn't make her precious. Her outward clothing didn't make her rare. It didn't make her dignified. Her outward elegance didn't make her a virtuous woman. It was her God-fearing nature that made her a virtuous woman. It was the dignity that she had, that she feared an awesome God, the same one that we all sung about this morning. My God is awesome. She feared an awesome God. The Bible here says that she's clothed in strength. That is, she's a strong woman and dignity. That means she's noble. She's a noble woman. Here's what's colorful, and I want to give you the opposite end of the spectrum. And I'm going to give it to you maybe in a little colorful way, but it's according to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. If she did not have dignity, right, that is class, elegance, control herself, if she did not control her emotions, she would be like the woman in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is just like a well-dressed pig. That's it. It's ugly. Well-dressed, look good, act good, smell good, makeup good, everything good. And all the while, she's filthy as a pig and ugly as pig and pig slop. This is why it's not about your outward appearance. It's not about what you think you are, how pretty you think you are, or how beautiful you think you are, or how cute you think you are. It's not about how you dress and expensive taste that you have or clothing. If the heart is bad, all of it is ugly and all of it is bad. Ladies, I encourage you today, because this type of a woman, the excellent woman, who's dignified, she smiles at the future. And that's what the rest of it says. So her inward confidence, she has an inward confidence of the future. That is, she knows her heart is in such the right place. She fears God so much that she knows the sanctification process is going on in her life. She's looking forward to the future no matter what it may happen. No matter what it entails, she's looking forward to it, knowing that whatever happens, she knows how to handle herself. Wow. Some of us don't like the future. Some of us don't like thinking about the future or taking that next step. Some of us are afraid because we're afraid of how we're going to respond to a certain thing, knowing that we don't respond well. Well, she takes on all challenges of the future. She's looking forward to it. She smiles at it. It's a delight to her. She can't wait for it. For her and her family. Number 17. How many of these did I say I had? Y'all with me, huh? Number 17, she is wise. She's wise. In verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Listen, she opens her mouth and speaks with wisdom. She speaks with wisdom. What would wisdom be? Well, we know that from chapter 1. We know that from back in chapter 1. She has a fear of God, fear of the Lord. That's what true knowledge is. That's what wisdom is. So again, some of us have degrees. Some of us, we go around, we parade ourselves, and we're smart, and we're uber smart. And in fact, usually I find that, at least in this church, people who've come in, the smart people get upset because they don't understand. That word understand. I don't understand. They don't understand. So they're smart. They're uber intelligent. Or we think that we're uber intelligent. Well, no, that's not of the mind. The knowledge that you possess, that God sees, is not of the mind. The knowledge that God cares about is not of some mental understanding of crazy, incredible doctrines that are not even sometimes in the Bible. No, it's do you fear the Lord? So you know what the wise woman is? The wise woman fears the Lord to the point of sanctification. That's what a wise woman is. I have to behave. So here's what I'm saying. So you don't have to go and show people that you're wise and godly. You don't have to tell them that you're smart and sit here and have these crazy, outlandish conversations about the ancient Grecian time or ancient Palestinian shepherding or whatever. You don't have to do all of that to show it. You know how you show it? By your character. That's how you show that you're wise. Wow, a person, look, I said something wrong to them. They took it wrong, and look at how they responded. That's wisdom. That's what's why. That's knowledge. A knowledge of the Lord which brought upon sanctification. So here, she is shown to be this type of a person. Therefore, she opens her mouth. Not only is she wise within herself, but she can teach the wisdom. She opens her mouth. She's so good at it. She's so excellent at it. She teaches other to do it. She is the example of kindness. She is the example of nobleness. She is the example of what it means to be an excellent woman. So she can teach it when she opens her mouth. She teaches it in being placed in settings which are unfavorable, and she's not jumping to some emotional rant, but she controls herself. Because she's wise. She fears the Lord. That's what true wisdom is. So for her, there is no mention of bad or an evil day here, is it? We don't read that, or she had a bad day, so she just went out and cussed a whole bunch of people out. We don't read about that, do you? No. We don't read about people cutting her off on a horse, right? And she giving them all kind of faces and fingers and yelling out the window and telling them where they can go and what they can do. Do we? No. There's no bad days here. Well, I'm just having a bad day, so they're going to get what I'm... No. You can't have a bad day. And the problem is, it can't be, especially with us. Okay, so we're certainly not this woman. Let's just get that straight. We're working at being like this woman. You're not perfected in this. But the other problem is what tends to happen is it's a bad day for some of us every other day. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Well, you got to understand the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, no, you need to behave. You're sinning. Is this too real yet for some of us? Number 18, she's watchful. She's watchful. I love this one, too. She's watchful. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Right? She's looking to the household. So watch this. So her children and being watchful of her children, she's making sure that her daughter, or she would make sure her daughter is behaving and not like out in the streets, not like how we grew up. She's making sure, in essence, her daughter don't shake her head from side to side when she talks. She's making sure that there's no bad attitudes going on within her household. She's attentive to her children, extremely attentive. This is an everyday basis. She's making sure her daughter or her son is not an attention seeker, that they're not worldly and seeking attention and loving attention of the world. Mothers today, we're boggled down by everything. We have technology, social media, everything, TV, everything boggles our little minds down. We're living life. Some of us just want to have fun. Some of us got to go, well, I need to make my money. And we neglect the household. You're in sin. to neglect the household. But what we get here is the idea that she is watching her family like a hawk. We get the idea her eyes are gazed upon. There's a single-minded gaze that she has upon her family. I need to know where his next step is. And I talked about her being proactive earlier. And I believe it would be even here. I need to be proactive to know what kind of person this is about to end up to be. If you have a little 7-year-old and she's already shaking her head with attitude, don't think that's going to get better by 10 or 12. You're in trouble. You're in trouble, ladies. But she's attentive. She's watching like a hawk. But look at this term, and does not eat the bread of idleness. So it's the opposite of watching like a hawk, where she's just kind of laid back, like, whatever. They'll get better. In fact, even worse than that, the literal interpretation in the Hebrew is her eyes are gazing everywhere. So a virtuous woman sticks her eyes to her children. A non-virtuous or a non-excellent woman or a unbelieving woman gazes at every single thing. Everything else is important. Oh, no, I love my children. My children are important. But you miss the fact that they're acting the way that they're acting. And don't correct the way that they're acting. It's a problem. Your gaze needs to be upon your children. Not every event, every party, every this, every flyer, every graduation, and I'm missing my children. I can't be that way. The excellent woman is, and I want to encourage you, ladies, the excellent woman is, hey, I got to get my family in order. And if I know, again, can sense that there's some problems, we need to solve this. Right? We need to solve this. I'm watchful. I'm watchful from over my family. I'm watchful. I'm gazing upon them. In number 19, in verse 28, number 19, she's honored. Verse 28. Honored. This is almost, and the next few are almost the results of what happens when a woman is excellent or virtuous, when she's upstanding and upright, and when she's being sanctified and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, when her heart is being changed day by day, and she's operating in a noble fashion in the way that she's supposed to operate. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and bless her. Wow, thank you. I want to encourage you, ladies. This is what you want. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, and we'll deal with what he says later, but you want this, your children to rise. This, that is, she's done such a good job. She's watchful. She corrected every small thing that they were doing. She was correcting their walk. She was correcting their talk, and therefore, they grew up to be noble. They grew up to be God-fearing. So much so to where they knew now with wisdom, because her being wise was able to teach them wisdom. Did we just catch that from earlier? Her being wise was able to teach her children wisdom. They know how to speak wisdom. And guess what they say when they speak wisdom? They bless you because they're wise. They're wise in the Lord, and they can bless you for being a godly mother. But that's only if, mothers, that you're godly. That's only if you're operating in the household as godly. They know what to say to her. They know exactly what to say to her to encourage her. And not only that, but a godly husband, he'll rise up and he'll praise her. Just great deal of honor. Acknowledge her work. Acknowledge the fortitude that she had. Acknowledge the labor. Acknowledge how she's treating the children and how she's a nurturer to the children, how she's cherishing the children. He rises up and he gives her praise for that, and he acknowledges all of her work that he sees she's doing, that she's doing such an excellent job, even with him, that he has a different level of respect in the community. So he's rising up and he's praising her and giving her honor. Or her flowers while she could still smell them, if you will. Number 20, she's respected. Respected. And the rest of verse 28 says, and he praises her. So we left off with, and he praises her saying, right? Or verse 28, and then verse 29 says, many daughters have done nobly. This is what he says. but you excel them all. So her husband gives her an exceptional praise. It's a superlative here. He gives her great respect. It's an incredible amount of praise, almost seemingly undeserving. Literally, and this passage actually should be taken literally. When he says, you excel everybody, all the mothers, there's none like you. When he says that, you should take that literally. Because what he is saying is that you have been so virtuous, so pleasant, so gentle, so kind, so meek, so humble, so excellent in character, that the reputation of the family is even deepened. So to the point to where I feel like you are the greatest mother in the world. And so I know there's a lot of other mothers that are noble. I know there's a lot of other mothers who are excelling and who are excellent, but there is none like, and he really believes that. He would really believe that, that there is nobody like you. The children would really believe there's nobody like our mother. This is why you want to be excellent mothers. And I want to encourage you to do it because I want you to hear this. I want your children to grow up and be so wise that they know how to encourage you with these words. But you have to be this. And it's not, of course, for them and to receive praise, but this is just what happens. It is good to smell your flowers while you're still alive. You're the best wife in the world. And means that. Like, I can't even fathom another wife like you. Means that. That's respect. Number 21, God-fearing. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She's God-fearing. So again, notice it's not about the physical beauty. Look, charm, her charm, the little charm she's given, the little niceness and outwardly that she get, the little beauty and stuff that she's given outwardly, that can be deceitful. Her outward beauty can be vain and empty and meaningless, useless. This is what he's saying. And if this is the case and the woman is living by this, it's disunifying. It will be. And she deserves whatever nastiness that she comes with. Whatever ugliness that she has, unfortunately, what's going to come back is nastiness and ugliness. This is disunifying. A person who's operating in the flesh in this manner is disunifying. So in other words, your children will go up, instead of blessing you with their words, they will disrespect you. And I don't want this to happen. If it's already happening, it's probably for a reason. Could be you. Or it could be them. And you need to probably pop them in the face with an iron. No, don't do that. But godly beauty is inward beauty. And instead of being disrespected, it deserves to be praised. It deserves to be honored. And it will be respected. That's the difference. That is the difference. You will find the admiration of your entire family. You will be praised. A woman who fears the Lord will be praised. And then finally, we actually made it, church. Right? Number 22, celebrate it. We made it within an hour, right? Celebrate it. In verse 31, the Bible says, give her the product of her hands. And let her works praise her in the gates. Give her the product of her hands. In essence, let her receive the rewards of her labor. Give her the fruits of her labor. She will receive the fruit of her, everything that she did, all the accolades, all the praise, all the honor. She doesn't have to say, I need to be respected. She doesn't have to go around the house demanding to be respected. But if she is a God-fearing, virtuous woman, and she trains her children right, and she has a God-fearing husband, of course, her God-fearing husband needs to drive this and drive the children to honor and respect her. But if she has that, she will receive the fruit of her labor. Husbands have to jump on her side. Let me say this, husbands, just so you know. Now, I know it's not Father's Day, ladies. Husbands, just so you know, there is no me against, or me and my children against my wife. They're going to grow up and leave. You are on your wife's side. You guys are unified. And when you approach them, you're approaching with unity. If your children are disrespectful, you are not laughing at that. You are not egging it on. You're not like, yeah, I don't know why. No. You're not best friends with them and allowing them to disrespect her. You're not doing that. If she's a godly wife, she deserves to be celebrated. If you're a godly husband, even if she's not a godly wife, you will still make them to respect her. That was quickly for you. And to encourage the ladies who are here listening to that. But that needs to happen. And far too often, our worldliness and our approval of men have husbands in the household seeking approval of their children. And because they want that approval, they will stand against their wife. And they will allow children to disrespect and dishonor her. You, my friend, are facing some terrible, terrible sins. And so I tell you, and allow her to be honored. Respect it. Bring the unity in the household. No, it's us versus them, if anything. Right? It's us versus you. Right? Y'all better get it together. We gonna come in there. Right? Probably even some more we terms up in here. And also in verse 31, let her works praise her in the gates. That is, the community will greatly, within the gates, the community will greatly acknowledge and honor her and respect her. Family, friends, at the job or work, she'll be known as a respectable woman of dignity, of class, of elegance, and she will be respected within the city, within the community. She will be highly respected. Of course, that will bounce back into the home. That will bounce back upon the husband. Unfortunately, if we're not this, then she's disrespected within the community. Family and friends will disrespect her if she's not behaving like this. If a husband's not standing up and helping out and washing her with the word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, and her allowing the Holy Spirit to really change her, then yes, there's going to be a lot of disrespect and disunity, not only in your own home, but in the community. So there's very little silence in regards to a virtuous woman's labor. Men, children, there's very little silence. If she's virtuous, men, children, the community, trumpets will blow on how beautiful she is. Not physically, but the things within her, the honor that she will get, the respect that she will get, the admiration that she will get, all the things that she deserves, the praise that she will get. Of course, not the same type of praise that we use to praise God. He is first and foremost, but she will get accolades. She will get people who will promote her with their words. If she raises her children in excellency, and if she's a good mother to her children will be a great encouragement to her. And so I want to tell you and say to you, even to you children who are here, if your mother has done anything, if she's taught you anything, if she's blessed you with her words and her wisdom of Scripture, and ladies, please use Scripture, but if she has blessed you with Scripture and has helped you in any kind of way, encourage her, go to her, honor her, respect her, listen to her, obey her. Amen. I'm glad I got one amen. I pray that we do that. I pray that we understand, ladies, what an excellent wife is, and I pray that we become that. Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Father, again, how wonderful you are to all of us. Lord, understanding we don't deserve any kind of praise, we don't deserve anything, but we thank you that you allow certain things to take place upon this earth and accolades, certain types of praise which are beneficial to encouragement. And we pray right now that every mother, every wife, every woman who is here is encouraged to live a more virtuous life and to live like this excellent woman in this poem, asking that you will set your affections upon their hearts and that we grow up in your love, that we become more noble as women here. The ladies here become better mothers, better parents, better wives to their husbands, and that they seek first your kingdom, and they be about your heavenly business, and in all things be added unto them. We pray right now for each and every single mother here that they would learn their communication and proper godly communication and godly spending and finances and being good stewards over what it is that you have positioned and placed them with. Again, just blessing you and thanking you for each and every single mother, not only at DaySpring Church, but across this world, asking that you will nurture every single one of them and that you will keep every single one of them and that you will allow your law to be delighted upon their hearts and that they may rush out and practice these your principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.